Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 o'clock. It's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. We'll be coming up. We've got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and You Big Dummy all coming up in our regular features, as well as what are the somewhat odd activities Americans spend their money on. We're going to jump into that and talk about what people are spending their money on. Speaking of spending money, my first guest tonight is an Emmy Award-winning reporter who covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. Good friend of the show. You can read him, all of his stuff, at consumerman.com. He joins us monthly to talk all things consumer. We got some big stories to talk about this month. Herb Weisbaum joins us, and you can follow him on Twitter at TheConsumerMan and at Facebook at ConsumerMan. And we welcome Herb to the show. Herb, welcome back.
Hi, Nick. Nice to talk to you.
It's great. Well, great to have you back again. So tell everybody about you and a little background.
Consumer reporter. Been doing this for many, many years, and my goal in life is to steer people to the good buys and avoid the scams and help them out in situations like this where there's so much confusion about this gigantic Equifax breach.
Yeah, we're going to get to that definitely without question. We're going to get to that right away. After I do want to mention that you just got back from New York. Tell everybody what you were doing out there.
Oh, yeah, I was in your fair city today. I'm here for about an hour and a half, just long enough to get a little personal deep dish pie and head on back.
There you go.
And I was sitting next on the plane with me, somebody from Chicago. I told them I was going to be on your show. I said, oh, Nick DiGilio. Yeah. So anyway.
Wow. Okay.
But I was back at the Syracuse University where I graduated for the 70th anniversary. It wasn't actually the date, but the 7th anniversary celebration for my college radio station, WAER, which is one of the first, if not the first, college radio stations in the country, at least on the FM band, and way back when, 70 years ago, and had a great cast of alum, some who were there, some who weren't, Bob Costas, Marty Glickman, Marv Albert, who was inducted into the Hall of Fame, Steve Croft started there, Ted Koppel, Dick Clark, who I had the pleasure of interviewing when he came back for his 25th anniversary. So quite the cast of characters that have come out of that college radio station.
That is something. How long were you there?
I was there like for a day and a half. Got in, got out, saw my old dorm, went to had pizza at the old place where we used to have pizza. My professor who had independent study, I had independent study with Bob Costas and I. Bob was my roommate. We both had him. Took him out to dinner. We had a great time. Saw the former dean. He's now 96 years old. He was there for the celebration.
Wow.
Just got to see some old friends and then headed right back so I could talk to you tonight.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you were able to do that. That's fantastic. Yeah. And I thank you for doing that. How's Bob Costas doing?
Cups of coffee. I'm a wide awake.
How's Bob Costas doing?
Bob is doing just great. Just doing great. I got the feeling he's going to write another book in the near future, and he's working on a bunch of things, but he's doing just great.
Did you have, was he a good roommate? You can be honest, Herb.
Oh, absolutely. He was the best roommate in the world. Just a wonderful guy, and what you see is what you get, and Bob's just a super guy. And by the way, I didn't know Marv Albert. I got to meet him last night, and he's funny. He was really, he's really funny. He had some great lines. And Floyd Little, the football star from Syracuse, was actually there. And Floyd, after his career, moved to Seattle. So he knew me from TV, and I said hello to him, and I said, you still have a car dealership here? And he said, no, I moved to Las Vegas. And I said, okay, but it was fine, nice to finally meet Floyd Little.
Oh, that's great. So it seems to me that you had some pizza over the past couple of days.
Yeah, I had some pizza. I had the regular pizza in Syracuse, and I had the deep dish at O'Hare.
Wow. Okay. All right. It's you bookended your trip with pizza, which is really good.
What could be better, right?
What could be better? Exactly. All right. Well, welcome back. Herb is here.
Thank you.
He joins us monthly, and we have to jump into this Equifax breach. Let's start with to try and explain it to people. We want to get this as simplest of terms so people understand what's happening, what happened, and how is it being handled and all that stuff.
Sure. The simplest thing what happened is there was a data breach, and as far as we know, they reported that as many as 143 million files were stolen. Most of these included Social Security numbers, dates of birth, all the important things that people use to prove their identity, addresses, and then some credit card numbers, which doesn't really bother me, 200,000 credit card numbers, because you can cancel a card and start over again. You cannot cancel your Social Security number, and there have been some reports about how you can change it. Very rare instances can you change your Social Security number, because if everybody did that, then we wouldn't know who people were. So that's not how we're going to get ourselves out of this situation. The latest reporting today is that the company had said that this would be due to a breach of an Apache Struts software, a web software. But now it's being reported by the company that this software, they had put out a security patch 2 months before the breach supposedly happened. So there's a lot of fingers being pointed as of today to Equifax, and are you really responsible for this because you did not do a timely patch of your software, which when you have such valuable information collected from so many millions of Americans, in most cases without their permission or consent, or even in many cases knowing what you're collecting on them, that you were so, you know, as some are suggesting, careless with regarding this information. So there's a lot of stuff happening on that front. There's going to be congressional hearings. Consumer advocates are pushing for all sorts of things. This was a watershed moment. You and I have talked many, many times over the years about identity theft. Mark my words, this is a watershed incident about the gathering of information about people in this country and how it's protected and what the liability is going to be if you're not careful with it and it gets out. This is going to change a whole lot of things from here forward.
Now,
unfortunately, the Social Security numbers are out there. The big question, by the way, was asked tonight by CBS Evening News, and the company did not respond to their request, is, was this information encrypted? The company never reported whether this information was encrypted or not. If it was encrypted, that probably means the threat level has dropped dramatically. If it wasn't encrypted, that raises a whole number of issues, which is, how in the world could you collect all this stuff and not encrypt it? So the answer to that question, which I'm sure if it doesn't get out sooner or later with reporting, is going to get out in a congressional hearing, is how did you treat all this information, all these files that you have on people?
Let me ask you this. Maybe some people are probably wondering who exactly and what exactly is Equifax?
Equifax is one of the three big credit bureaus. These credit bureaus gather all sorts of information that companies report to them about how we pay our bills so that companies can tell what sort of credit risk we are. And it's used for everything these days. I mean, sometimes they check your credit file. And that's what the credit file, the file that Equifax has, these 143 million files, is what companies use to make credit scores so they can make instantaneous credit decisions for you. So when you go and are offered a credit card at the department store, we'll give you a credit card right now, you get 20% off your merchandise. They're able to do that because everything in your file has been boiled down using algorithms to various credit scores, depending on what algorithm they use, that lets that company know right away, yes, we can give this person credit, or no, we can't. When you apply for an auto loan, they run your credit file, your credit score, and that tells them, yes, we can give them the loan or not, and what interest rate you're going to get. It decides if you're going to get a credit card or not, and what credit rate you're going to get, what interest rate. It decides if you're going to get a cell phone, if when you open cable TV service, if you're going to have to put down a big deposit, whether you can rent an apartment when a landlord checks it. So these credit scores started with just, you know, getting a credit, a loan or something, and now it's gone to almost every aspect of our life. So this is the file that is used to make that credit score, and because it had the Social Security number on it, which is the skeleton key to your life, It will allow anybody who has access to it to do all kinds of things. If you think about what you do with your Social Security number, you apply for government benefits. In many cases, it's used to access your bank accounts, your financial accounts. Maybe it's used for your insurance. Maybe it's used for your hospital, whatever. So that's the key to everybody's life, and that's why this is such a big, big deal. This is not the biggest data breach in history. It's, as far as you know, the biggest data breach of Social Security-related files in history in this country.
And for those people out there who are thinking, Equifax, I never heard of them, I'm not associated with them, so I'm not going to worry, that's not the case.
That's not the case. Something like 40-50% of the American public had their files in Equifax, and it's very likely you did, whether you know it or not, because they don't have to ask you. They're collecting data from the various things that you do that go into your credit file. You can go on the website, and you can put in your Social Security number and find out if your files were compromised. But I got to tell you, these sites are now so jammed. People have gone on various times and gotten different answers. One time it's like, we're not sure, check back, yes, you are. The key is that people need to assume that they've been breached. And I'll be honest with you, Nick, we've talked in the past, there are so many breaches that have taken place with so many Social Security numbers breached these days, and so many of them floating around out there, that you really have to assume your number's out there. And later, I know we'll talk about that credit freeze that I'm going to suggest, because you have to assume in this day and age, there's a really good chance that your number's floating around out there with some criminal possibly getting a hold of it.
Okay. Herb, hang on, all right?
You got it.
Herb Weisbaum is with us. We're going to take a break for the news. When we come back, we'll talk more about this Equifax breach and what we can do about it and how the investigation is going. We got other things to talk about as well. Herb Weisbaum is Emmy Award-winning reporter covering the consumer beat for NBCNews.com, and he covers it for us once a month. And we'll come back after the news and talk more with Herb right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And it's Friday, Fly Jams Friday, you big dummy. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies. All of the regular Friday features will be happening. We are also going to be talking about what you're spending your money on, what Americans are spending their money on. We thought that would be kind of a fun conversation to have after talking with our current guest, Herb Weisbaum, who is the Emmy Award-winning reporter who covers Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com. You can read all of his stories and subscribe to his newsletter at ConsumerMan.com. He joins us once a month. We've been discussing the Equifax breach, and we welcome Herb back to the show. Herb, welcome back.
Thank you. And by the way, after we get off the air, I'm going to put up an article that I just wrote based on talking to you tonight. It'll be up in a couple of hours when we wake up here in the morning in Seattle. But it'll have everything we talked about, what you need to do, links to where you can get credit freezes, advice from the Federal Trade Commission, everything sort of in one place. So if you go to ConsumerMan.com tomorrow, later in the day on Friday, give me a little time. They'll be right there on the homepage. There'll be everything you need to know that can get you the information you need.
All the information that you need with links all about this Equifax breach, which we talked about
just because I know we'd be talking about this.
Well, I appreciate that, Herb, and I know my listeners will too. So make sure you check out ConsumerMan.com. Okay, we talked about, you know, what this breach was, what happened, and how it's being handled right now. But what about a credit freeze? You mentioned credit freeze a couple of times.
Sure.
Tell everybody about that.
Let me run through a few steps you should do. So first of all, just to recap, you should go to Equifax and see if they say you've been breached. And if so, then you can go on their site and get a they'll give you free credit monitoring. It's free. Why not take it?
Hey, by the way, I'm sorry, Herb. I'm sorry to interrupt, Herb. But I was watching The Daily Show the other night, and Trevor Noah was talking about this story. And he said that tons of people are obviously going to the Equifax site to see if they have been breached. But there was a bit of wording. I don't know if you're on their website.
Oh, that's now changed. The whole deal about what you give up. Your rights. That was the consumer world pounced upon them for saying that if you took this service, you were going to lose your rights to sue. It doesn't apply. It doesn't apply to the credit freeze thing. So you don't have to worry. There's none of that to worry about.
No, I just wanted to say, Trevor Noah knew that. I mean, that was only up temporarily on the website, and there was such an uproar that Equifax changed it. But I thought that was a really interesting way for them to try and get around it. Like, oh yeah, we're going to give this to you, but in return, you can't sue us.
Well, it's very common. We've talked about it before. More and more financial companies these days are putting in there, you don't have the right to sue us, which is a whole other discussion. But that's not uncommon. That's very common, and a lot of consumer advocates are up in arms about that and trying to get that taken care of. But Congress doesn't want that to happen. That's a whole other story.
But okay, but it's so not up there. It's not up there anymore. It's perfectly fine.
So
to go.
You don't have to worry about that.
Right.
So and they'll give you a free credit freeze. Now they've been pressured into giving everybody a free credit freeze on Equifax for the next 30 days. So you don't have to rush, but you should go on and get that free freeze. Then you should also consider getting a credit freeze on the other two credit bureaus. As I said, there are three big credit bureaus. So you want to also go to Experian and TransUnion. And when I checked, the sites do not make it easy to find out how to put a freeze on these guys. And this is not a good thing. They're all trying to upsell everybody to get the credit monitoring. And it's like, guys, this is a really bad situation. Let people freeze their accounts. Of course, they don't want you to do that because they make money every time your account is checked. So if all of America froze its accounts, that would be very bad for the credit bureaus. But anyway, you want to freeze those accounts, and let me explain what a freeze is. You lock up your account. No one can get in that account when you freeze it, including you, unless they have the PIN code, the 10-whatever-digit code. It just locks up that account. So, for instance, if I'm a crook and I get Nick DiGilio's Social Security number and I want to go to the bank and open a bank account for him, or if I want to get a credit card at Macy's, or I want to get a cell phone at Verizon, if the account is frozen, they won't be able to do a credit check on me, and it blocks the transaction. So that's the value of a credit freeze. It's the only proactive thing that your listeners can do to protect themselves. The only. Everything else, all this credit monitoring, all this other stuff, is when the horse is out of the barn. And a friend of mine, Bob Sullivan, just wrote a story that something like 100,000 people have already signed up for Equifax. There's no, not Equifax, excuse me, with LifeLock. There's no need to panic. There's no rush to sign up for a service. The credit monitoring services only tell you if there's been a problem. The credit freeze helps prevent financial identity theft. Now, one other thing I want to point out here. If you're going to do this, put that PIN code in a safe place where you can get it maybe years from now. Because if you don't have that PIN code, you're not going to get into your account, number one. Number two, there is a charge for it. And I just looked up in your state, it's $10 to freeze the account. And it's if you're over 65, it's free to freeze your account, and it's also free if you're active military. So you can do that and lock up your account. If you want to open your account, and it's different for every state in your listening area, Nick, so they're going to have to check out their state. Some it's
Got
free,
it.
Some it's 10, some it's 15.
Got
but
it.
I just picked Illinois because you're in Chicago.
Right.
You'll have to pay to open your account and unlock your account if you want to take out some credit. So 2 years ago, when I bought a car, I had to have a credit check to get a loan. And I said to the dealer, what credit bureau do you use? They said TransUnion. I went online. I unlocked my account. I kept it open for like 2 days. They ran the credit check. Everything was fine. I got my car. I locked it back up again, which cost me another $10. Now, I know that sounds like a lot of money, but the cost of doing this is less than a lot of people spend for a latte in the course of a week. And let me tell you, when you're the victim of identity theft, your life is a living hell. You don't want to go down that path. So it's not like you have to rush, but it's something you seriously need to consider. And again, I explained all that and everything that's going to be up on my website. The last thing is, if you're going to lock up your account, I just learned this today, if you're going to lock up your account, make sure you go to annualcreditreport.com. That's the place where you go to get your credit report every year for free.
Yep.
And get that credit report before you lock up your account. So you want to get that report and see, you know, these numbers have been supposedly floating around for 2 months now. Is anything weird on my account to start with? Is there a credit card I didn't apply for? Is there a loan I didn't ask for? Is there something weird? Did my address get changed? Is there something funky on my report? Because then you really want to deal with that. And then after you get that, then you can lock up the report. So that does that make sense?
It does. Yes, it does. And again, for those of you who are just tuning in or didn't hear the whole thing, that we've been discussing the Equifax breach and everything you need to know on what to do and how to do it with links, a full story, and everything that we've been talking about is going to be available on Herb's website later this morning, and that's at consumerman.com, consumerman.com.
And two last little things I have time
to break. Please.
Number one, people ask me, if I lock up my account, is that going to stop everything? And the answer is no. So it will not stop a situation where you have an ongoing relationship. I mean, it's not going to screw up any accounts you have open. It's not going to keep you from getting your credit score every month. If you get a free credit score from your credit card or your bank, it's going to stop new stuff. So that's the number one thing that people don't have to worry about that. Number two is that it's not going to prevent every kind of identity theft. And if you want to talk more about this, we can. But it does not stop medical identity theft. It does not stop criminal identity theft. If they've got your Social Security number, they can do a whole lot of terrible things to you. But it will stop them from opening financial accounts in your name.
So
the last point is, if you need individual help or want to talk to somebody one-on-one for free, there's a fabulous organization called the Identity Theft Resource Center. It's a real easy website to remember, idtheftcenter.org, and it's also a link in that article I wrote. You guys can put up if you want to. They will talk to you one-on-one, a counselor. It's a nonprofit set up by a husband and wife who were both victims of identity theft many, many years ago and had their life completely destroyed for a couple of years because of what happened to them. And they started this center, idtheftcenter.org, and you can actually get information or talk to somebody one-on-one.
We appreciate that. That's great. That's all great information, Herb. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
How does a breach like this happen, Herb? Any ideas? I mean, I know they've got to investigate. They've got to figure it out. I mean, this is massive.
Yeah. The question is, you know, the deal is that we're keeping so much stuff now. The hackers are getting so good, and they're spending so much time doing these things. And as long as it's stored on a database somewhere, it's vulnerable. And as I said at the start of this thing, I think this is going to raise a whole lot of issues, number one, about how we're storing data. And you know, there are protocols that are going to, that need to be put in place, and no one knows if they did it. For instance, if they get in, the data is supposed to be segregated, so if you get into one file, you can't jump to another computer. It's pretty high sophisticated tech talk, but there are procedures that they're supposed to have in place to A, to spot a breach, B, stop a breach from being totally, you know, atom bomb kind of thing going off like this appears to be, and then three, just good protocol, just good hygiene for computers says if a patch comes out and you're a company that stores data, you got to fix that patch like ASAP. You can't wait, you know, a couple of months to do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
They also wait. I mean, I think this is going to go down as one of the – this company, unfortunately, handled a whole lot of things wrong. It was clear they weren't prepared for this. They did not have a disaster response team either in place or are capable of handling this, because things keep changing. They tell people about their rights on Twitter, tweets, as opposed to a reporter.
And also, Herb, and this is a different story altogether, a road that we're not going to go down, but a lot of the CEOs and the higher-ups in that company did some very questionable stuff before this went down.
Well, yes, they sold some stock, and supposedly after this report internally came out, no one knows. I mean, that's going to be – Congress is absolutely going to look into that one. Was there any kind of alleged insider trading going on?
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions about that.
Yeah.
And then the whole issue of you're collecting data on me without my permission and storing it. And then the final question is, I don't know whether we've gotten critical mass yet, why are we using Social Security numbers for personal identifiers? When Congress created it, they said these cannot be used, this is not a national identification system, but we're using it. Even Medicare is going to change in the next 2 years. They're rolling over to getting rid of Social Security numbers for identifying for Medicare. We have got to get away from this thing that can never be changed, basically, that identifies you from the time you're born to the day you die, that if it gets in somebody's hands, I talked to a woman who somebody stole her identity, committed a crime. She was pulled over by cops and taken away in handcuffs until she could prove she was the victim of identity theft.
Yeah.
But this woman had committed a crime claiming to be her.
Yeah.
And now she has to carry a letter in her pocket for the rest of her life saying that from the prosecutor, this woman's a victim of identity theft. She's not the woman who robbed the bank or whatever.
Wow. All right, Herb, hang on. It's crazy. Hang on, Herb, okay?
You got it.
All right, Herb Weissbaum is with us, helping everybody out. Again, go to his website later this morning. There's going to be a full article with links, all the information, and all the help that you need, consumerman.com. And we'll take a quick break. We'll talk more with Herb right after this on 720 WGN. Good morning. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Friday, Fly James Friday. You big dummy, straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies. All the regular Friday features are happening. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your Friday morning drive. It's Herb Weissbaum is with us. He joins us every month to talk about consumer issues and stories. He's an Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat at NBCNews.com, and he also has the website consumerman.com. We just discussed in detail the whole Equifax breach and what can be done about it and credit freezes and all that stuff, and he's going to post a story with all the links and all the information that you could need on consumerman.com later this morning on Friday, and we welcome Herb back to the show. Hi, Herb.
Hello again.
Hey, let's talk about, before we get into the next topic or news story here, tell everybody how they can get your newsletter, which is free and always great.
Oh, just go to consumerman.com. It'll either pop up on the screen or it's on the top. Just put your name and email in. If you don't put your name, just put your email in. I'll send it to you every week, my stories that I do for NBC and various things. I now link to your podcast, Nick, because it's such good response.
Oh, great.
And I will never sell, share your information, just a way to keep up with what's going on. And one last thought, if I can finish up on the credit thing.
Yeah.
This is a whole other area that hasn't even been written about yet. This is going to be a field day for all the little con artists across the globe. They're going to pretend to be Equifax and contact you, or Experian, or TransUnion, or your bank. Oh, they just used, you heard about the breach. They just used your credit card number. We got to anything that calls, emails, texts, and asks you to click a link or provide personal information, do not do. Because that's going to be the next story down the road, is all the people who got scammed by the scammers who are taking advantage of the fact that this is such a news story that's in everybody's consciousness now. So please be aware of that. They're going to try to use this a secondary way to get your other kinds of information scamming you by pretending to be some good guy who's trying to help you deal with the breach. I guarantee you that's going to happen.
No question about it. I mean, these people have no conscience, none of them, because we just had two massive hurricanes hit, and people are gouging people on home repair. They're pretending to be people that can help them. Anytime there's a tragedy, there will be horrible people who will take advantage of it and try to rip you off.
Absolutely. So if you think it's your bank or something, you go to them directly, call them or email them or go to their website. Do not assume anything that you get regarding this is legitimate.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the dangers of renewal subscriptions, memberships, and stuff like that. Give everybody a little background on that and tell us about it.
Sure. story that I just recently did, and it's about the fact that a lot of people who sign up for things don't realize that they're signing up for ongoing subscriptions. So, for instance, you and a lot of these have to. Sometimes it's with gyms that happens. It's a common problem. You pay monthly and you give them access to your bank account. And they keep taking the money out. But a lot of this has to do with free trial offers, and that's why you hear them on the air. It's absolutely free, just shipping and handling, and they need your debit or credit card to do the shipping and handling. Well, they want that credit card. The bad guys, and this is used by both good people and bad people, is because a lot of times they will sign you up for these auto renewal programs. It's either in the fine print or disclosed so far into the website or the offer that you never find it or hear. And that was a survey that recently came out that showed how few people realized they were actually signing up for these things, is that all of a sudden they got your number and you get starting to be billed every month for your subscription that you never authorized or never realized you authorized, and it keeps going on and on and on. One thing, if it's a credit card, you can cancel a card or talk to your credit card company, but if it's somehow that you gave them your debit card number, which you never use for an online or telephone transaction, they got access to your checking account, and then you've got serious problems dealing with the bank to shut it down. And just as I was preparing for your show today, the Federal Trade Commission got a group of online marketers. They agreed to pay $2.5 million to settle charges that they deceive consumers with free and risk-free trials for cooking and golfing products. My experience has been this is most common with facial creams and wrinkle creams and anti-aging pills and that kind of stuff. But if anybody's offering you a risk-free trial, I don't think it's worth the risk. I actually wrote a story once that it's not worth the risk.
Okay.
Because there are so many of these. I mean, unless it's a company you know. I mean, if some well-known company is offering you a risk-free trial, okay. But if it's some magical cream or magical potion, what the heck, I'll give it a try, and you've got to give me your debit card or credit card number, I don't think it's worth the potential hassles down the road. I really don't.
Okay. All right. Before we let you go, there's a story about Gwyneth Paltrow's website, Goop, that you wrote about. Tell us about.
There's a group called Truth in Advertising that questioned a whole bunch of claims that are being made for these products. They're basically, they say, medical claims that there's no proof that their products can do these kind of things. Some of them can actually be dangerous, including the jade egg, which is an egg that's made out of jade that's supposed to go up your private part.
Yeah, right.
And which can actually be medically dangerous if women do it. The whole article is on my website, but there's a lot of questions about what is the crazy stuff that is being sold and the claims that are being made by Goop.
Yeah, it's so...
a lot of Goop, let me tell you.
Hello, how are you? Hold on, let me give you one of these. There you go.
We're here every Friday night, and don't forget the fish fry.
That's right, exactly. I'll be here all week. I'm always suspect of Gwyneth Paltrow anyway. That's just in terms. I mean, when I heard that jade egg story, I was like, come on, people. Come on, seriously?
And they also have these patches that were supposedly used by the astronauts that would tell you, help balance your bioenergy or whatever. And then, of course, the NASA says that this has nothing to do. This is not the material we used. And, I mean, but some of them actually, I read some of them, and these products like these teas or these candles or these, they claim like to help cure or treat diseases. And that's the really scary part. If it's one thing if it says it makes you have a good day or you feel, like you're But when it says it's going to deal with arthritis or cancer or something like that, then that's a medical claim, and you cannot make that unless the claim has been approved by the Food and Drug Administration. And I dare say I doubt most of these products have any kind of backup from the Food and Drug Administration. And people just have to realize that even though her name is on it and she's using her stardom to sell the stuff, my medical experts told me there's a lot of really questionable stuff, and they were really appalled when I showed them what was being sold here.
All right. Well, the whole article in detail is available at consumerman.com. As is the story about the renewal subscriptions and all the help that you need for the Equifax breach to deal with it, and the credit freeze and all that stuff. Herb, always a pleasure, my friend, and have a great month.
Thank you. We'll talk to you before Halloween.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, there you go. Herb Weissbaum, everybody. So helpful. Such a great guest. Always great to talk to him about your consumer issues. And again, a full article with links, with help, with suggestions for this Equifax breach, which may have affected you, will be available later this morning on consumerman.com. Subscribe to his newsletter as well for free to keep up on what's going on in the consumer world and help keep you safe. All right, we got to take a break. We got the news coming up next here on 720 WGN.